The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro. FM 100.5 Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com.
What is up, Willow One Show? Giving you the truth about personal finance. This is Financial Coaching Radio, and I'm your host, Jason Qualls, certified financial planner, one of the only independent commission-free financial advisors in Rutherford County. For all about me, check out JasonQualls.cfp.com. Want to be a part of the show? Click email the show or any of the social media links at FinancialCoachingRadio.com. Been a while since we've discussed anything to do with mortgages. Let's have to keep it general. Let's talk about mortgage interest rates. I don't want to give too many. Interest rates are always changing. So depending on when you're listening to this, be it live or podcast, things change. They change every minute, every day, every week, every month. As of late, mortgage interest rates have ticked up just a little bit. Both the 30-year and 15-year fixed rate mortgages rose, according to Freddie Mac. Obviously, this is all dependent on your unique situation. So we're looking at articles, financial planning articles, as it relates to interest rates. It's not really your own situation, right? It doesn't have any impact of, don't know your impact of credit score, your debt to income ratio. All those things will dictate the interest rate you qualify for. But we talk in averages. It's the national average, not necessarily true to you or I. The increases were relatively mild. It was the third week in a row 30-year fixed rate mortgages were up. Mortgage rates have been drifting higher due to sustained inflation and the reevaluation of the Federal Reserve's monetary policy. Mortgage rates probably won't dramatically fall until the Federal Reserve starts cutting the federal funds rate. I believe their prediction was, you know, mid-late 2024. Hopefully that will come true. If they start doing that, that is an indication that inflation is under control and coming down, and they don't see it being too negatively impacting on the economy, so they're not trying to slow things too much. They're not trying to speed things up any more than they are. The Fed doesn't want to make cuts until inflation is closer to the target of 2%. That's back to the target. That was the target forever, and they could not find that. Remember that all the quantitative easing that happened as a result of the 2008 financial crisis? And they were buying up mortgage-backed securities, trying to maintain, get inflation where they wanted it. The year-over-year inflation increase was 3.5%, so we may have to wait several more months until the Fed is ready to decrease rates. So we're a percent. See, if they don't ever get there, that's the thing, right? We'd have to deal with these higher interest rates when it comes to our mortgages forever. Now, if you're sitting there locked in at a two, you know, a high, low, mid to low twos, not low, mid to high 2% interest rate on your home, then you don't care, right? You're locked in at the best possible time, probably never, ever going to see those mortgage interest rates ever again. But if you did not, you bought post-inflation, post-COVID, your interest rate may be higher. Or if you're trying to buy a home now, that's really deterring a lot of people. They're like, hey, I'm sitting on this house that I have, I can sell, and may or may not have, you know, it may not be a buyer's market or a seller's market right now. Not really sure how people would categorize the Rutherford County market these days. It's so complex. Obviously, I think there's demand out there, but obviously demand is being curbed by these higher interest rates. Just think about it. You're sitting there with a 3% mortgage on your current home. Yes, you would like to move. You're going to move and you're going to pay 6, 7% mortgage interest rate. That's kind of crazy, right? According to Freddie Mac, the national average 30-year fixed rate mortgage was in the high sixes, 6.8, 6.9, 7% for probably going to be really accurate of what we could obtain. The 15-year rate is just over 6%. Let's go into the conversation about a 15-year mortgage or a 30-year mortgage. Now, a lot of, anti-debt folks, we could argue all day long. If we get away from like religious, philosophical points of view as it relates to debt, which is better, the 30-year or 15-year mortgage? I think most mortgage people would say this as well. There's going to be a little bit of a rate difference, of course, and those things have to be factored in if you even have the ability to qualify or do a 15-year mortgage. But a lot of mortgage experts would say, let's do the 30-year mortgage and let's pay it like a 15. And the reason you pay it, and just make the same payment to pay it off in 15 years, if that's ultimately your goal. And by doing so, it gives you a little bit more flexibility. Because once you're into the 15-year fixed rate mortgage, there is no undoing it. There is no coming back. There is no, unless you want to refinance, which is going to cost you more money to do so, typically. And I like that. I think financial planning flexibility is a huge thing. But if you're just hardcore set, like, getting the 15-year, I'm going to pay it. Not really worried about the flexibility. I got the income consistency and secure in my profession, my career, my job, my business. That's fine. But here, it's like everything else in life almost. You weigh out the pros, you weigh out the cons, and you say, well, these are important to me. These are not so important. This option for me has more positives than negatives. And that's how you make a decision. It's never this either or, which works for better, for everyone, may not work for another person. I even said that incorrectly. Of course, that's contrary to what I'm trying to say, right? Nothing works for everyone all the time. What about an adjustable rate mortgage? These are things that are better off discussed with, in your situation. You got the 5-year ARMs, the 7-year ARMs, 10-year ARMs, they're all out there. It all depends on what your long-term plan is, right? If you really think you're going to be in and out of this home in a specified period of time, and you can get a more attractive interest rate on one of the adjustable rate mortgages, maybe that is something you consider. But a lot of people, when they think that way, they actually end up staying longer than they thought. But I think a better play here, if you're even going to call it a better quote-unquote play, if rates do come down and you locked into a 30-year fixed mortgage and we're 2-3 years down the road, and let's say you locked in at 7% today and rates 2-3 years from now are 5%, you're going to have some cost to refinance into that lower rate. Not the end of the world, but there's a little bit of a game to play, and it's a game, right? It's a game of what, does it work for you? Does it not work for you? Of using the adjustable rate mortgage to possibly manipulate future rate decreases. Because that is the prediction. We don't know when. Will it be next year, the year after, 2-3 years down the road, get back to 4-5% mortgages? Maybe never. So maybe you want to play that. So what's the end all be all part of this discussion you need to take away other than just general mortgage rate information? Sit down with a independent mortgage person that can shop and get you the best rate. Sit down with your certified financial planner. Go through the details of your situation. Let's figure out, is now the time that you need to be buying, selling a home? Is now the time you need to be jumping on board with an adjustable rate mortgage or a 15-year mortgage or a 30-year mortgage? Look at all these things. These are the things that are all parts of financial planning that people always seem to forget. They think it's all about investing and all about this stuff. It's not. It's about everything your money touches. So if you hit us up with a question about mortgages, we'd be happy to help you out. Go to Financial Coaching Radio. Click email the show. This is that show, Financial Coaching Radio. I'm Jason Qual, certified financial planner, back with you right after this.
Hey, Hey, financial coaching radio listeners, if you don't understand exactly how your financial advisor is compensated, you could be in big trouble. My name is Jason Qualls, a commission-free certified financial planner. To learn more about why my process is so unique, go to jasonquallscfp.com or call 878-2134 today. Okay, folks, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. If you were my client or a loved one, I would never let you get your wills done online. This is truly a case of where you only get what you pay for, and those you leave behind will be the ones to pay the price. Go see estate planning attorney John Baker today by calling 896-5621 or go to bakercounsel.com. Again, that's 896-5621 or bakercounsel.com. Get the expert estate planning advice you need today.
Did you know that the U.S. tax code has over 70,000 pages? This is precisely why you must have a tax expert on your team. The folks at THW CPAs have been providing their expertise to individuals and businesses in Middle Tennessee for over 50 years. And now they have an office right here in Murfreesboro. Call Kevin Sizemore today with THW CPAs at 848-1072. That's 848-1072 or online at thwcpa.com.
Welcome back to the show. This is Financial Coaching Radio. Joining in now is John Baker, estate planning attorney, bakercounsel.com. Interesting information coming from Wealth Planning Magazine. Everyone's talking about a CPA shortage, but apparently, John, if you didn't know this, there's an estate planner shortage.
I did not know that.
$30 trillion in wealth will transfer between generations coming up, I guess, in this next, decade, maybe?
I guess aging baby boomers, I suppose.
The gift and estate tax exemption clock is clicking for 2 million families. I guess that's referring to the 2025 tax cuts that will expire.
Right.
Is that on the horizon you guys are talking about it, or are you just kind of waiting and see? Because we have no idea what's going to happen with the election.
I'd say probably this past 6 months or so, you're starting to see more chatter about that, you know, in the various publications and the attorney chats and the financial advisors. You're starting to see more conversations about that, I believe.
That is a huge amount of wealth.
Yeah, it is.
That's what to say. How many trillion? 30 trillion? Wow. And most of that's probably in qualified retirement plans.
Yeah.
And that creates a lot of obstacles too, right? Because you really can't, in a simple sense, do much to minimize income taxes on those, and you can't do much to minimize inheritance taxes on those because anything is a taxable event.
So much wealth is in those retirement accounts like IRAs, 401ks, you know, similar tax deferred plans. I was just reading an article the other day, kind of a policy article, and there is that side that thinks that these tax deferred tax savings plans, you know, are really costing the government a lot of money, generally benefiting, you know, wealthier persons at the expense of the lower portions of the economy. And so, you know, there has been and has always been a hot debate about that, but you know, as it currently exists, there are a lot of favorable incentives, and that's the other thing. We want people to save for retirement, so we try to create tax incentives such as these accounts. So that's the flip side, is we want people to save for retirement. But then the other side of the policy is, well, it's not supposed to be a tax haven. It is truly supposed to be retirement. So, but that's, yeah, there's a tremendous amount of wealth in those retirement accounts.
And generally, when you deal with someone with a larger account balance, and they're thinking about, you know, income tax planning or inheritance tax planning, you know, that's the exemption so high that's rare these days. But What are some of the techniques you could use for a large IRA to minimize? Is there anything that can really be done? Or are you just going to have to bite the tax bullet at some point?
Well, you know,
if you get rid of the stretch is gone, right? If you inherit an IRA from a parent, you got, 10 years to get it out?
Right. So for most people, you're going to have 10 years. But of course, you know, there are exceptions. a young minor child, for example, or a disabled child. So there are some exceptions and some planning opportunities there. But for most families, most people inheriting an IRA, a child, they're going to be subject to that 10-year requirement to pay the tax and pay out the IRA.
What is your final information on that? Is it just as long as it comes out in the year 10, or is it, you do it equal distributions 1/10 every year? Or, the way I interpreted some of the rules when I've had to read it last was there's still like a small required that you have to take out every year, which is nowhere near equal to enough to get all the money out within 10 years, but you still got the big final one at the end.
You know, I don't want to misstate it, so I don't recall the specifics.
I don't know if anyone knows.
but that is, that is a good question, and you do have to, the plan accordingly. I think most advisors on a fairly large IRA are going to advise you to spread that out.
I just take it over 10 years, because if it's, if we take a little bit each year at the end, you're going to have this huge amount.
That's right. And that's probably not going to be favorable, so.
And the estate planning in regards to your retirement plans, the most crucial thing people can do, or the biggest misstep would be, is not name beneficiaries or have your beneficiaries be out of date.
Right. So I have this conversation a lot with clients, when we're creating estate plan and creating trust, that your IRA or your retirement account has to be in your individual name. Okay. We can't, if we take that IRA and retitle the assets into a trust, we've just made a withdrawal.
You get that question as well as I do.
Yes.
Can we just move it to somebody else?
All the time. So the next point to make is that, therefore, because it has to remain in your individual name.
Husband and wife ask, can we just make it one IRA?
Right.
And, no, well, you can. you can.
That's right. It's an individual retirement account.
But you'll pay taxes on the full amount.
That's right. But therefore, we need to be very careful with and check our beneficiary designations, because that's how that account's going to distribute. For example, for most folks, it's probably not advisable just to name your estate as the beneficiary of your IRA, because that might shorten that 10-year period to a lesser time. Your beneficiary may not get the full 10-year. So
is it still the 5-year rule on that, or is it all again?
I believe it depends on if you're at your required minimum distribution date or not.
I just preferred the old rules. That's why they had to mess with all this.
But you have to be mindful of that. For most people, you're not going to just name your estate, which would mean your will, essentially.
Right. You're going to name a person.
Now, you can name certain types of trusts, but they do have to qualify as what we call a designated beneficiary. And then, of course, naming someone that's actually living with a heartbeat, which is the easiest way to do it and the most secure way to make sure that you are going to maximize the stretch for that beneficiary. But
if you name an incorrect beneficiary, is there any way to undo it? I know that's probably a question I already know the answer to, but there's really not, right?
If
you forget to update your beneficiary and your ex-wife is on there, your ex-wife's getting the money.
What I can tell you is that might get very expensive if you think there is an avenue to do it. There are some attorneys and tax accountants that do specialize in trying to make modifications, but sometimes that requires getting a opinion from the IRS, which can cost tens of thousands of dollars, by the time you get something like that. So it's really important to try to set it up correct on the front end.
Then let's make sure you stay up to date with your beneficiaries.
There might be some ways to work with that. If you've named a trust or an estate as a beneficiary but it does get much more complicated, and you really have to have some expertise to dig into that. Hopefully, you won't run into that.
So obviously naming your spouse as your beneficiary of your retirement plan, maybe secondary beneficiaries would be your children. And if they're adult children, that's no issue. There's nuances to everyone's plan.
Right.
But what do people do when their children are minors? What are some of the things that need to be solved when you really can't name a minor a beneficiary of an IRA? You can, but it's really, they're going to have a conservatorship, I assume.
Right. So typically for a minor, we like to have a minor's trust, for that child. And so that's typical.
So a lot of moms and dads probably name each other husband and wife beneficiaries, and they also name their children, but their children could be minors.
Yeah, and if they are, you know, in Tennessee, if they're under 18, then there will be a guardian to supervise that account until the child turns 18.
And is that guardian a trust-appointed person, or is that appointed in your will document?
Well, you can nominate the guardian in your will, which you know, most parents will do that if they have minor children. But a court actually is the official appointer.
They get the final say.
Right. And it's, so it is a court appointed position.
BakerCounsel.com, John Baker, estate planning attorney. If you have an estate planning question, reach out online. Click email the show at financialcoachingradio.com. We're going to continue this discussion right after this short break. Keep it locked in right here on WGNS. She calls me the lion, then I wear the David mask. I guess the stones are coming to rest her now.
When severe weather strikes, we break in.
A tornado watch is in effect for Rutherford County.
The most up-to-date weather information.
We'll be here with you on radio and with Rutherford Weather Video Channel.
Rutherford Weather Updates on WGNS and watch on YouTube and Facebook with Rutherford Weather.
Do you have a financial plan? I'm not talking about a worthless binder full of pretty charts and graphs. Are you certain you're on track to reach all your financial goals? A comprehensive financial plan is about so much more than just your IRA and mutual funds. It involves risk management, tax planning, professional investment management, retirement, and estate planning. Make sure your entire financial life is in order by calling me, Jason Qualls, a commission-free certified financial planner at 878-2134 or go to my website, jasonquallscfp.com.
Buying a house is stressful, and so is shopping for a mortgage. Take my advice and get a second opinion on the mortgage for your new home or your refinance. Not all banks and mortgage companies are created equal. Trust me on this. Call my friend Marshall Sparkman with Franklin Synergy Bank at 615-439-0885. Great team, great process, and the best rates. Marshall Sparkman with Franklin Synergy Bank at 615-439-0885.
Welcome back to the show. This is Financial Coaching Radio with you every Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock right here on WGNS. Online anytime at financialcoachingradio.com. I'm your host, Jason Qualls, certified financial planner. Still in the house is John Baker, estate planning attorney. BakerCounsel.com. Interesting information coming from an article regarding the decline of estate planning. Now, we've always discussed, John, you and I, that estate planning is one of those things that people do last minute. They don't update often enough if they even, you know, have their basic documents of wills and powers of attorney. What do you think is causing people to say, well, I'm just not going to do it at all? It's like a 6 or 7 or 10% decline, depending on what study you look at, year over year, less people taking part in the estate planning process. Are they just over it? Are they just said, done?
Lord, that's a hard one. I don't know. I mean, it's as important as ever. You were just mentioning, you know, all the wealth that's tied up in estates that'll come to you in the next, you know, couple decades. And so, you know, I don't know. It may be just some of the same issues that have always been there. You know, this is something that is hard to think about. Nobody wants to think about these sorts of things and dying and what's going to happen. And how that'll, you know, a lot of people kind of just want to block it out. So I'm sure some of it is that, as it has always been. I wonder if and this is just pure speculation on my part, but if just some of the post-COVID and the isolation and all from that people are just not engaging in general as much as
it seems like life has just gotten a little more complex is probably not the right word. It's not the same as it was pre-COVID. I don't know why that is.
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it either, and it feels different to me too. But I'm just, you know, speculating that, you know, maybe there's something with that. People are just not getting out there. Now, I will say, just, you know, I, from my own practice and you know, for others that work in this field, everybody seems very busy. So it's not it's not that it's not being done, but maybe overall there is a less amount of people doing it. And I don't know that I could say that is likely to be on younger people, because younger people have always, delayed this sort of thing. So, unless there's been a change in the numbers there,
And going on, if you were a parent, you know, and Johnny, you are, and you probably had these conversations with your children, and someone that's got, you know, 18, 19, early 20s, maybe mid-20s child, what are you saying to them to get some basic estate planning documents in place? Do you just do it for them? Do you schedule the meeting for them? What do you advise to get, you know, powers of attorney for, say, a 25-year-old that's single?
I think the parent, in my experience at least, and it's been, I think this is probably the best way to do it, is have the parent initiate that. Say, look, you're 18 now. If something happens to you, even if they're just single, you know, no children or anything, child, you know, just the child is, you know, just young, but they're an adult. So if something happens to them, and they don't have an agent appointed to take care of things. And that's where the powers of attorney, both for financial, property, and health care, come in. And you know, if you say, well, you know, my child, he's young, he's in school, you know, all he's got's debt, he doesn't really own anything yet, you know, pays rent for an apartment and, you know, hasn't
We're talking about living through the disability, mental or physical, and not really dying.
Right, not even dying here, absolutely. And so, but then that's where I think the emphasis of the health care directive is, you know, or the health care agent. Okay, granted, you know, my child's 18, my child's 20, doesn't really own anything, I'm not really worried about his estate or his property. But we got to make sure that we can make health decisions for him or her. You know, if that child can't do it themselves, who is going to do it without that power of attorney? And I have had that come up in my practice with 18-year-old children.
And then you'd have to go to court to get appointed to be, even though you're the mom or dad, right? You've got to go to court to become that appointed
probably
person
gonna
without
be, that's
the
document. That's going to be the long-term solution if nothing else is going to work. And that so that power of attorney, even if it's just that one-page thing for health care that you can download off the Tennessee Department of Health and have your son or daughter sign it and put who they want, mom or dad, on there as the agent, could be just a godsend, you know, if the child was seriously injured and was incapacitated. So
and we know how it would work on the financial side. Financial institutions would want a signed power of attorney naming someone.
That's right. Yeah.
On the medical side, is it a little more of a gray area? You know, does the doctor require someone that document? Is the hospital, or are they just going to do what they need to do and not really ask anyone? Or is it just when it comes to there's a disagreement?
So the medical provider, I'm going through this right now with the case, they're going to be very conscious of this issue. But at least in the short term, there is a process in the statutes that the medical people can go through to determine who the responsible adult is, okay? Typically, that's probably going to be a parent or the spouse. But that's probably not a long-term solution. You know, that's just an emergency, immediate type thing. Long-term, if you don't have the power of attorney and the disability is long-term, then you are probably looking at that court process, which is a much more complicated thing.
So they actually will do the due diligence, the medical facilities will make sure that they're not, I guess, putting themselves at risk.
That's right, and they're concerned about their own exposure because, you know, they're very sensitive to medical privacy laws and all the rules related to that. So they're so that's, and I've had that again happen in real cases with
and it has to come up a lot children. Because it not, you know, it's not a hugely common thing, but you got a lot of kids that are out of state, out of area for school or college, and accidents happen.
Well, I tell you this. So here, you know, just in my own example, my daughter goes off to UT, signed this health care power of attorney. So I had her sign the powers of attorney. I even gave a blank form to the parents of her roommates. So
they have one.
I said, have your child sign this in case of an emergency. And my son just went off to the military. He's in California. So before you leave, you're signing these powers of attorney. Okay, now the military, you know, they have their own legal support system and they'll get powers of attorney out there, but I was concerned, you know, when.
And, it may not happen immediately.
Yeah, maybe 2 years from now. So I said, sign these before you leave. You're not leaving if I don't have, you know, I need this. And so it is important with these young people, but we don't think about it with young people because statistically, they're not likely to die, you know, they're younger, and they're so early in life that's just not at the forefront. But every time I have a conversation with a parent about this, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I didn't think about that. You know, that is important.
How would that go? So, you know, you have a child at UT, and they have a medical issue. That's they're laid up for a month. Like, you can't get there maybe as often as you want. How is that really playing out?
Yeah. So, well, I think the medical providers are going to be very hesitant to release any health information without, you know, documentation.
So if they had an aunt, uncle that maybe lived closer, or they had a brother or sister that was there, they're not gonna be able to provide any.
Not unless that patient, that child who's in the hospital or whatever, is conscious and competent and can do an authorization right there. There's probably going to be some issues.
Good stuff. John Baker, BakerCounsel.com, BakerCounsel.com for all about his practice. John, I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be here, Jason.
All right, stick around. We'll be here to wrap up the show right after this short break. Keep it locked in on WGNS.
How much are your investments costing you each year? Most people don't have a clue. Why is this extremely important? Because overpaying by just 1% a year in fees and expenses can reduce your account balance at retirement by 28%. You heard me right. 28% less at retirement. I'm commission-free, certified financial planner Jason Qualls. I don't sell financial products. I don't accept commissions or kickbacks from investment companies. Give me a call today for a free unbiased investment review at 878-2134 or visit my website, jasonquallscfp.com. A recent undercover study found that over 89% of paid tax preparers made mistakes. You heard me right, over 89%. Is your tax person making mistakes? Tax mistakes cost you money and may even lead to an IRS audit. I recommend you get a second opinion on your tax return today by calling Tutherow Helen Welch CPAs at 848-1072. Tutherow Helen Welch has been providing tax services to individuals and businesses for over 50 years. So call them today at 848-1072 or go to thwcpa.com.
Welcome back. As I wrap up the show, appreciate you listening today and every day. Real quickly, you can put a price tag, apparently, on the value of a personal finance education. Some experts are saying it's worth $100,000 completing one semester course in personal finance. Now, long term, obviously, protecting yourself from mistakes that we have all made by not having the proper financial planning education. It would probably be more than $100,000 over the life. So I think it's more valuable than that. And we've discussed it many times on this show. We need to do a better job. Interest level with the high school kid is one thing. But if we can get them motivated, get them interested in the life skill of financial planning, because we're all going to be exposed to it. We're all going to have to make these financial decisions. No one is immune. I think it's more valuable than that. You can listen to the show anytime, anywhere at financialcoachingradio.com. Click on archives, get a long list of all the past shows. If you're a regular listener of the show, we try to touch on things that are a little bit different. Maybe not always in your perspective or mine, for that matter. But we're not going to keep it to this where everybody has to follow the same rules and the same steps, because you are different, your situation is different, and we need to be talking about topics that are actually applied to the real world. If you want to learn more about what I do, I am one of the only independent commission-free financial advisors in Rutherford County. Check out Jason Qualls, CFP.com. I'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same channel. Keep it locked in right here on WGNS. More local talk, as always, is up next.